Blog Talk Radio.
Just who wants to rock. It's who wants to rock out with their cock out. This is the Metal Hammer of Doom. And just because Jesse Starch is drunk doesn't mean he's right. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm ready to rock and roll, man. I mean, good golly. I can't believe we're talking about a band that I haven't listened to for probably close to 20 years tonight. And it's going to be a fun discussion about their newest album. How many albums have these guys got under their belts?
I'd have to look it up real quick, but I am your host for the evening, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radulis. And that, of course, as I said, is Jesse Starcher sitting in the second chair for tonight because we don't have Mr. Cooper. I'm sure he's real sad about not
having
to release
the album. Yeah, he's really upset. He's really upset. He's probably had the option. He had the option to either work without pay or be on the show tonight. And I think we know what he chose.
So, yes, we are, in fact, reviewing Jackal with a Y. So, by the way, I've been saying that a lot now, and it's because I totally stole that from Patton Oswalt, where he was talking about he was home watching VH1's, like, 100 glam bands of the 80s, and he was like, did you know if you like metal of the 80s, you're gay? Did you know that? And he was talking about, you know, how like every band was basically like shirtless, rubbing elbows in an abandoned factory that only makes sparks with hot women holding power tools miles away. And he did an impression of one of the girls. Like, he's like, well, I might as well be cock over here because I'm not going to get any from Jekyll with a Y.
Jackal with a Y. Now, I knew there was a story behind that because you kept saying it over and over. And I wondered if there was either a story or if that was just your own little thing. So clearly.
Completely ripped it off of Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. All right.
So, yes, August 5th, Jackal came out with a new album called ROWYCO, which stands for Rock Out with Your Cock Out. And boy, did they ever. This is
wow.
An American Southern rock band. You might be thinking to yourself, is this my beautiful house? No. You might be thinking to yourself, why would the Metal Hammer of Doom, a podcast of such notoriety, be lowering themselves, be changing the format just so to cover a Southern rock band? When all this time we've been looking at the hardest of the heavy metal bands that are out there. And to you folks, I say, because sometimes you got to rock out with your cock out. Sometimes you just got to have some fun. Sometimes you got to play a chainsaw like it's an instrument. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to do here tonight. We're a little off the beaten path. When I saw that Jack was putting out a new album, I said, you know, I don't know how this is going to be. It may turn out to be shitty. It may turn out to be great, but I at least want to give it a listen. And I can't tell you enough times how much I fell in love with this album. I could listen to this over and over and over again. And Jesse and I were talking before the show. I can listen now. I've gotten more of an appreciation for Southern rock now than I did when I was younger.
You're awesome.
Which my wife apparently takes full credit for. Shut up, Annette. Just because I'm drunk doesn't mean you're right.
Oh, hell no.
Melissa's always right. I definitely wouldn't have given this a chance 20 years ago, but I'm more open to it now, and I have to find that I'm more drawn to the Southern rock style than I am some of the stuff that Robert Cooper tends to appreciate. Where does Southern rock fit in your sphere of influence there, Jesse? But I know you don't like the metal where you can't understand what anyone's saying. I'm just curious to see where this fits in with you.
Yeah, I do enjoy this type of music. I have, if you go to, if you had a chance to view the playlist that I have on Spotify, I know I bring up Spotify a lot, but that's where I listen to pretty much all my music anymore. you'll find that I have metal and I have rock. Now, rock has a mixture of a lot of good Southern rock bands in there that I'm familiar with when it comes to, recently, I would say probably within the last 5 or 6 years. Now, prior to that, like I'm talking like Blackwater Rising, Jackal's not in there. Unfortunately, Jackal is not one of the ones that I've really tended to appreciate as time went on. Like I said earlier, this is the first time I'm revisiting anything that they've done since the last 20 years. But now prior to that, if we're going way back, I mean, I have a tendency to enjoy classic rock such as Lynyrd Skynyrd, things like that that came from the South. And I get that mostly from my dad, and I'll listen to a lot of that stuff any time of the day. It's nothing that stuff's coming back to me. This is stuff that I would love to listen to while I was sitting in a bar playing pool. I did that for a little while throughout probably the early 2000s. We hit the bar down the road, and of course I don't drink a whole lot. I'm not a teetotaler or whatever, but I certainly don't. I certainly don't partake at a bar as many other people would, but I'd sit there and play pool with my buddies, and this would be easy bar music to find. Would you not agree that a lot of these songs you could find on a jukebox somewhere in a bar?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good whiskey drinking music right here.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's pretty much my purview when it comes to that. I mean, not like the biggest Southern rock dude, but I'll definitely add stuff to the playlist if I enjoy it.
Yeah, we were talking before the show started. There's been some bands I've come across as of late, like Crobot, Shaman's Harvest. They opened up for Hell Yeah, and In This Moment. And I remember really digging it. Not to mention that they have a song called Country as Fuck, which I think is hilarious. But, Jesse and I are also, as people know, if you listen to the podcast, big Clutch fans. And there's certainly an element of Southern rock in Clutch. Well, element of
Absolutely.
Lots of different kinds
yes.
of music in Clutch. But, Clutch really swings, and, especially their Beale Street to Oblivion album. Their most recent, over the last three albums, their most recent stuff tend to just swing that way at times. So I think therein lies the attraction. This is actually the first Jackal album I've heard in years. I knew Jackal was a gimmick band. They got popular because the one guy did the thing with the chainsaw. But but if I didn't know any of that, and I just for some odd reason was told, hey, go listen to the new Jackal album, you'll really like it. And I didn't know anything else about them, I would say, yeah, absolutely. This was great. Now, some of the songs that you're going to hear tonight are on the silly side. But like I said, Jesse and I, we're going to remove all pretension. We're just going to have fun. We're gonna allow the music to make us laugh, make us cry, make us hurl, and just have a good time. This is whiskey drinking music.
That's what it's all about, having a good time. And these boys bring it. They bring a good time to you, whether you like it or not. And that's the whole point of their music.
Right. So let's get into it. This is track number one. This is called Disaster Piece. Song to start off with, especially where the rest of this album goes. This is one of the heavier songs on here, and but it's got good melody to it. I like the drumming, the use of the toms. Pretty good song, you know. A weird one to kind of start off with, like I said, because it's a little bit different from the rest of the album. But I think, but on the other hand, it might be a good place to start if you're. I mean, it's listed as hard rock, but it was on the metal calendar. So, you know, if you're trying to find that sort of through point to metal fans, this might have been a good way to start.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely one of their most straight laced songs off of here. You're opening up, and when I first heard this song after starting the album, I was like, these guys, they are all about the women. We're going to see that as we go into the album. And so that's kind of what I expected, like from their original album. If anybody out there is not familiar with Jackal with a Y and what their first album dropped, we had the Chainsaw song. We had Dirty Little Mind. Down on Me, okay, and all these sexual euphemisms like were just rife throughout that album, if I remember correctly, and so that's kind of what I was expecting. And then we get into this, and by the way, I think it's eight. I think this is their eighth album. So we get into this, and this first song, I'm like, oh man, these guys have turned a new leaf. It's 20 years later, and they straightened up. And I thought, well, this is going to be an interesting take. But lo and behold, things are not as they seem.
No, sir. I don't want to belabor the point. You know, like I said, I just want to have fun, and I don't have a whole lot else to say. I think we're just going to move on to the next one. So this might be kind of a faster than usual podcast, which is fine because we've been running like two and a half hours lately. So occasionally when we do a short one, that's okay. So
this
didn't necessarily release a single, but this track was heard when they announced the album drop date. You could hear this song in a variety of different places. Ooga chugga, ooga chugga. This is Rally, Rally, Rally.
Barrel!
Let me ask you here real quick. Do you? I know you watch some TV. Are you familiar with the show Full Throttle Saloon?
No.
Okay. I'm trying to find out. Okay, it's six. I'm looking on Wikipedia right now. Now, the reason I'm telling you about this is because Jesse James Dupree owns is either part owner or owner. I think he's part owner of Full Throttle Saloon, which is a bar in Sturgis. And they're up to season six. They're saying the season six will air on Destination America starting December 1st of 2015. So they're obviously in the sixth season right now. But yeah, it basically chronicles. I've never watched it. I doing my research today, I found out that he was part of this TV show, but it chronicles a bar owner or these owners trying to get this bar off of the ground, and plus the crazy environment that it's in, and Sturgis and bike week or the bikes and all that. I say bike week. We got a bike week here in Ohio. I'm sure it's like bikes all the time in Sturgis now. But I remember seeing a few commercials for it, I think on True TV. And I mean, it was over the top, of course. You know, you got the biker crowd and the girls and the, and all that. But anyway, this song should be like its freaking intro every time. Rally, 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 rally. But anyway, yeah, this is Uka Chaka, Uka Chaka. It took me by surprise when we got into this song. I don't understand where the tribal stuff came from, but get down.
This song is begging to be played in a NASCAR rally.
I get up and dance.
You know, the cars are whizzing by. All you can smell is burnt tire and oil. And you hear, ooga chugga, ooga chugga, rally, rally, rally.
Beer would definitely be involved.
Yeah. It's a fun song. You know, it's pretty good. So a little, I tell you, I think my first impression, the very first time I heard this, it was a slow build getting into the album. Like, I heard this and I'm like, okay, first song's a little heavier than I expected. Not bad. Certainly I'm no mamby pamby. I like my heavy. Just heavier than I expected on a Jackal album. It didn't stand out to me in any kind of way. It was just okay. When I heard this, I'm like, oh, this is kind of gimmicky. And I'm like, oh God, is the whole album like this? No, it isn't. Oh boy. I can't wait till we get to track five, so let's not waste any more time. This is track three. This is All, speaking of the women, All Night Rodeo.
Definitely people getting laid when that song gets played. that is a party song, my friend, and that's a good song. I enjoy that one. That's probably one of my favorites off of this album.
I wouldn't go that far, but
I know it ain't yours. It definitely is mine.
No, it's a great song, and I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. They have this sort of Steel Panther, unashamedly, like, sexual tone to them. but it, you know, but instead of Steel Panther sort of playing off that glam rock over sexualized genre,
mm-hmm.
you know, over sexualized, like this is songs to go mudding to, you know what I mean?
Well, they have, I'm sure as a rock star, Steel Panther takes it to the nth level and makes it a parody, you know, almost of what being a rock star is. Now, these guys are genuine. That's where I feel the difference is. Clearly, these guys are genuine rock stars, and they are, you know, they're letting you know kind of the life that they like to live. And it's, you know, you can't fault the guys for kind of putting out their biography. It's beer and it's women, and it's more women.
It's like I would Steve Austin the album, you know.
Like, exactly.
Like Steve Austin's like unabashedly Southern, you know. Like now that he doesn't have to wrestle anymore and he doesn't have to be, you know, like a psychopath. If you hear him on his own podcast, he's like, again, unabashedly very Southern, very redneck. And that's not necessarily a bad thing or an insult, but it's like his delivery of the way he talks to people, the phrases that he tends to use. And I remember like the show that he hosts, not the one competition show, but the Redneck Island. You know, yes. And the kind of people that they get on that show. This album, and especially a song like All Night Rodeo, is totally like that group of people. Like when I think of like who does this song represent? It represents the people on Redneck Island.
Mm-hmm. I feel you there. I really do. Buddy, there have been growing up here in Ohio. I'm not complete city. I know me and you've talked about this before on this podcast, but I grew up somewhat in the country, you know, a good ways outside of the city. So, you know, this would have been something that was easily played at the pig roast that we were going to have next Friday. Okay. That would have, that is legit. No shit. How that would have worked. So this is the kind of music that, If yes, you hit it right on the head, and I'm not going to continue to repeat exactly what you just said, but again, if you're out and you're drinking some beers and anybody wants to party, you know, I think this song, number one, fits that. This album definitely does too.
All right. This is track 4. This is Ahead of My Time. This whole album is not supposed to be a comedy album, so I would say it's a very straightforward, kind of plain, but not in a bad way necessarily, just a hard rocking song. You know, it's on the album, little on the nondescript side.
It's one of those that I think he put definitely some thought into. It's because that's just not what we're expecting from Jackal a whole lot. but Jesse, I assume Jesse's the guy that wrote these songs. I never did look to see who the writer was or anything like that, but I assume that he was one of the ones that did most of the lyrics. I know many members of the band could have contributed to that. But anyway, regardless, the song, just like you said, it's about, somebody who's definitely on the path, I would say, to success, and doesn't have the opportunity and as much time as he'd like to spend to wait for somebody to catch up or keep pace with him. So, take that for what you will. It's a song for somebody out there, but it's definitely not a horrible song. It's definitely a good song for sure.
All right, and now we've reached the peak of the album.
Halfway through, we have reached the top of Space Mountain. No, wait a second. That comes later. My bad.
This is my favorite song. I don't know how many. Jesse has a better memory for detail than I do. I'm sure he's heard me say this is my favorite song of the year before. And maybe if you reminded me of two of them, I might actually have to sort of, have to look back at this and go, ooh, I don't know anymore. But as far as non-cover, came out this year on an album that we've covered, this might possibly be my favorite song of this year. I play this song on repeat. This is easily my favorite song on the album. I think this song is hilarious. I was making my wife listen to it before the show started tonight, just because I'm drunk. I'm hanging loose and you're wound up tight. I'm down to fucking, you want to fight. Oh, boy, if I had a nickel.
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you, this right here was a shot like from left field, what I was expecting when track five hit. Now, you had shared this. Yes, you had many. Well, I don't know if it was one or two times in the past here on Facebook, either in private message or in public. But, you know, I had not had the opportunity to listen to it until I started this album. And holy shit, I wasn't expecting this. It rides that line like Southern rock does. It rides that line between country and rock, and which is not a bad thing. Now, one of the reviews I said, or one of the reviews I read earlier today, mentioned blues, which you can feel that in there heavily. But two songs ago I mentioned the bar that I was right down the road for. That was the image I got as soon as this song started, and listening all the way through the end, watching all them guys leave the bar and head home. This was the song that was going through their heads every night they walked into their house.
It rides that, you're right, it absolutely rides that line between country and rock. It has that country twang to it, but heavier than your average country song. And I love metal can be a little too cute at times. It can be, really music can be, you know, you talk about hidden, especially some of the stuff that we cover, you know, you guys, you and Robert Cooper, that's sort of your bag, is, you know, lyric interpretation. What are they saying? What's going on here? You know, what does it mean? The sailboat in the typhoon of the map of the picture of the pixie dust. What's going on there? I think it's about a ham sandwich. I don't know, though. You know, and then this guy says, I'm drunk and I want to fuck. All right.
Yeah, there's not much. He doesn't leave much to the imagination, which is superb, in my opinion. That's what this is all about, for sure.
Listen, I'm a smart guy, but I don't want to have to think too much about my music or about my movies, as we all know. You know, I want to see Elliot trash, you know, the Pacific Northwest, and I want to hear some guy screaming into a microphone, I'm drunk and I want to fuck.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
It's the little things in life. I think at the very end, they have a woman come out and they just go, oh, hell no, I'm always right. My wife got a big kick out of that. and it's so true. Being serious for a moment, I mean, yeah, the song is just, it's so straightforward, it's almost shocking. But it's definitely about something I think that every guy can relate to. Even if you're not necessarily drunk, you know, if you've ever been in a situation with a woman where you're like, everything could not have possibly gone better, and yet your woman isn't on the same page as you.
Yes, sir.
I'm not answering the stories here. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but we've all been there. We've all been down to fuck, and she wanted to fight.
It's truth.
So that's why I think the song is hilarious. I like whether it's a movie or a song or a television show that really, you know, or a stand-up comic that really points to the hard truth of life. And that's what the song was. This was unvarnished, ugly truth wrapped up in a hilarious song. So I really appreciate it. As far as, like I said, the music goes, I'm not the world's biggest country fan, but I do enjoy some of it. You know, Cracker is one of my favorite bands of all time. They're an alt-country band, which I would love to actually take a departure one day on the show and talk about that band. It's so cool.
The Jubilation could make a return.
That's right. That's right. We could take a departure from this and bring back the Jubilation. You could have easily taken that song and attributed it to like Merle Haggard or Waylon Jennings or Johnny Cash or somebody, you know, maybe not exactly, but some of the outlaw country guys could have easily picked this up and done their own spin on it, and they wouldn't have missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I appreciated about it. You know, was it had that country twang to it, but it was still hard enough to be considered rock. And it was, and it's about a subject that we can all relate to. So, good stuff there. We have a wiener.
A wiener. Now this next song, I know you're getting ready to intro it here shortly, but this next song is pretty much the apology that this guy makes to his woman shortly after singing the song we just heard.
All right. So here's the apology. Here's the Star Trek V of the Jackal album. This is Everyone's a Winner. Take the lead on this one. You seem to like Everyone's a Winner.
Well, I think that it's a good Jackal love song. I don't think you find a whole lot of the, you know, the kind of, I don't say white trash, but you know, the kind of sly innuendo that they put in each of their other songs. This one's kind of a straightforward love song. And like I said, this comes as, I think this honestly is an apology from the same guy that you just heard talk about, tell his woman that you don't go and tell your woman that she's not right. All right. First off, you are drunk if you do that. Okay. And then as soon as you realize what you've done, and then you maybe sober up a little bit, you grab the guitar and you proceed to sing this song about how she's a winner and how, you know, everybody's a winner because, by golly, she's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you and it happened to the world. So that is, I mean, it's a good Jackal love song, but I mean, as for a good one off this album, it's okay. I'll give it a pass because you don't hear Jackal sing too many straight up love songs. At least I haven't. I don't know about their other six albums, so I can't really say from experience, but that wasn't what I was expecting.
Funny you talk about, you know, you could either be right or you could be happy, which is a Mike Birbiglia line. I don't know. Do you know who Mike Birbiglia is?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't say that I do.
All right. Mike Birbiglia is an American comedian. The bit that got him famous and got him on TV when he was just breaking out was he would do like this white boy rapper thing. He would play on the idea of only we can call each other white boy, you can call, you know.
I got you.
Very, very nerdy white guy, but he was playing up a lot of black tropes, and I didn't realize that Mike Birbiglia like had a career beyond that, because like I had, you know, like I saw his original stand up stuff when he was doing that bit, and then he just sort of faded into obscurity. Well, he was on not this past season of Orange Is the New Black, but the previous season of Orange Is the New Black, when the private company takes over the prison. He's initially the guy running the place, sort of answering to the corporation. He's the yes man. He also was just in a movie I saw he's in Trainwreck with Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer?
John, mm-hmm. Yeah. and John Cena. He plays Amy Schumer's brother-in-law, if I remember correctly. And yeah, he's actually had quite the career. Well, he did an it's almost not a comedy album. It's like more of a spoken word about how he was in this relationship with this woman, and he tells the story of how he didn't understand why she couldn't deal with the fact that he was right, and his insistence on being right damaged the relationship and made him very unhappy. And so at the end of it, you know, a lot of his shtick is done with a guitar. And so at the end of it, he sings a song about how, you know, you don't necessarily have to be right to be happy. And if you're a guy involved in a long-term relationship with a woman, you know that's true. You know, you have to subvert logic to pacify a situation.
Moving on. That's usually what goes through my head is, okay, we're just going to go ahead and not even press the issue. That way you can keep everybody smiling. That's the truth.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've been, like, I'm an open book, and my wife knows that, you know. So, and I'll talk about how, you know, there have been times where my wife has said something to the effect of, I know this doesn't make any sense, but it's how I feel. And you want to strangle the person when they say stuff like that.
Oh, man.
But you can't. Because
nope,
that's against
nope.
the law. But that's totally that's totally like what that song reminds me of. So a lot of truth about relationships and men and women in this album. I really enjoyed that part of it. You know, when you move away from some of the shtick. You want to add anything here, or are you done biting on your?
I would probably get myself in trouble. I will probably get myself in trouble if I add anything. But I can tell you that I 100% identify with what you're saying, okay. Because it is smart to just, hey, let things go. That's the best advice that I can give anybody out there, any man that's in a long-term relationship. Just like you said, it's okay to let things go.
Yeah, you don't have to be right.
That's right.
I just picture you like chewing on a baseball right now, trying to just hold back thoughts. This next one is my second favorite song on the album, just as much as I dedicated "Just Because I'm Drunk Doesn't Mean You're Right" to my wife, and we both got a good giggle out of that. I said, "Don't worry, babe, because this was my theme song. This is crazy." He's crazy. He's an asshole, but I just can't get enough of him.
Yeah. Now, shortly in this song, he's talking. I'm trying to find the lyrics, but I swear the man says something about dotting his foreskin. Now, I swear that's what he's saying. I could be incorrect, but obviously he's trying to paint a picture that he is obviously insane, or... You know, I should say that's not where he's going here, but that's the picture that I get immediately into the song.
You know what's funny? That's what my wife picked up on. I was just like, all right, you know, I played the song for you, had a giggle at your expense, but here's my song, right? I'm crazy, I'm an asshole, not good company, dot, dot, dot. And, like, she's like, yeah, never mind about that, because, you know, we all know that's true. But what's going on with the foreskin there?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, well, when you want to paint a picture and tell a story, I guess if you want to get it right off the bat that you're insane or you're crazy, you're playing with your dick in front of a bunch of people, I guess. I don't know.
No, your people fork, your best friend.
I don't.
Take it out in public while they'll stick you in the dark, and you won't come about. Oh, thank you very much.
Well, now I know, you probably know better than I do, but people do some crazy shit to mutilate themselves when they're not exactly in their right mind. And that's what I was thinking here. I was thinking that's what was going on. Care to share any stories?
Oh, of people shoving stuff in their dick? That's like my daily job. That's like my daily routine at work. We currently have like a half a dozen guys strapped to the fucking bed because they kept mutilating their penises.
Oh, why? What happens? What?
Your world.
What switch gets flipped to where that becomes like the thing to do? That is some crazy shit. I know. I don't have to tell you much about it because you live it. But yeah. Damn.
We had a kid today who, you know, he started off in 4-point restraints and he worked himself down to where he was just on regular good old fashioned American suicide watch, which is, you know, he's in his safety smock and he's not being watched anymore. You know, just doing 15-minute checks on him. And he opened up a wound today on his arm. He quote unquote, he cut himself. And I asked him, but why? Why would you do this when you know you were making progress? And he was like, well, what he said was, I wasn't getting my way fast enough, and I just decided that it wasn't worth being good anymore if I'm not going to get rewarded.
Which
is,
I don't know what to
say about expect that out of a 2-year-old. Okay, yeah. He's 20
wow.
And has his own kid.
Man.
So yeah, that's the generation. That's the generation that's going to take care of us, Jesse.
Dude, what you've got to see. Some crazy, horrible shit there, but is there ever like a light of hope, like every day that you can walk home and say, okay, well, we made some progress?
No, but
all right, but moving on back to Jackal.
I have 2 kids that I'm responsible for, and if they turn out to be productive members of society, successful. Productive members of society, then I know that I've done my job as a parent, and that's really all I can. I mean, there's no bringing any of these people back.
Wow. You
know, they're lost causes. We're just warehousing them at this point. So, getting back to the fun conversation that was before we were going to have today, this one is called, this is track 8. We are almost done here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. This is track 8. This is Hammer to the Head.
there's your stoner rock entry for the night.
Yeah, buddy, that's what I was feeling exactly.
That song could have been played by Alabama Thunder Pussy. You'd never know.
Yeah.
I noticed. I get stuck on saying like the name of a band or something, and I just won't let it go.
It's Thunder Pussy's fun to say though.
It's Alabama Thunder Pussy. Yes.
Well, I'll say Thunder Pussy. I don't have to worry about no Alabama. I'll just walk around the house saying Thunder Pussy if I want because I like it. Where you at?
You ever just walk up to one of your kids and go, Alabama Thunder Pussy? And the kids are just like, Dad's gone crazy.
Please turn on Little Einstein. I don't want to hear no more.
The little one's into the Paw Patrol. You watch that at all?
No. The kids got some toys, but they don't watch that. We do not watch TV anymore. It's all Netflix. I don't know if that's what it's like at your house or not, but it is all Netflix, usually all the time. Maybe some Hulu mixed in there. But if Paw Patrol's not on Netflix, I'm sorry. We're out of luck because it's all Little Einsteins and stuff like that.
My daughter will watch some Netflix. She likes the Ever After High, you know, and if I need the kids to, like, not bother me for a while, I'll go put on, like, various movies from Netflix. I have found my kids are not as discerning in their taste in movies as I am. and Netflix is a lot of garbage children's movies that they think
are
fantastic.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you have no problem finding something on there for the kids. Absolutely, man.
Like, do you want to watch the chicken movie? Like, this looks like shit to me, but what do you think? Oh, wonderful.
Turn it on. Usually they don't have a choice in the matter. It's more like, hey, okay, here we go. This is why. Well, I shouldn't say that because my kids, man, if I turn on something they don't want to watch, dude, it's, you know, I will hear about it till I turn it. So I have to find the one specific thing that they like, including down to the episode. Okay, you can't just turn on Little Einsteins. You got to find the fucking robot episode and make sure to turn that one on, or he's going to be pissed off and throwing a fit. So I really
was so funny the other day. We were home and you know he used to just be it was Mickey Mouse or nothing. He didn't give a fuck. It was Mickey Mouse or fuck off. Okay, was his motto. Now he's into Paw Patrol. He's really into Paw Patrol. Like, he'll ask for, like, I've gotten him to watch other things. Like he'll watch Blaze, or he'll watch, you know, or he'll watch Wabbit. If I put on something for Lily, he'll tend to watch it. Like, you know, he watches all the Disney Junior stuff that she watches, like Elena of Avalon, Sophia the First, whatever. But, like, if he has control of the TV, like I said, it used to be Mickey Mouse or fuck off. Now it's Mickey Mouse or Paw Patrol. And yesterday he did something really funny. He was just like, can we watch Angry Birds?
The movie or the tunes that are on Netflix?
He hasn't seen the movie yet. He knows his sister has. And I think I put on the Angry Birds cartoon once for them that was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
God, that cartoon. But he was like there was no episodes of Paw Patrol on. There was no episodes of Mickey. So he was like, let's watch Angry Birds. 5 minutes into Angry Birds, he's like, okay, now put on Paw Patrol.
I'm through with this shit.
So I'm like, no, I just spent money to rent this. You're watching the whole goddamn thing. And I actually thought the Angry Birds movie was funny. More on that this Tuesday on the summer wrap-up. it made money, man. There'll be another one.
It did?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All I remember from that review is flatulent fire shooting birds, if I remember correctly.
Oh, you don't remember my pitch for Angry Birds 2?
No, I do not. You may have to revisit it.
My pitch for Angry Birds 2 was that now that the pigs have attacked, they're all paranoid that they're going to have more invaders. So they build up, so they take their resources that they had on the island that made it so lush and beautiful, and they converted to a war economy. So they start building up walls around the island, and they build up walls and they build up artillery. You know, that now no one can get to the island, and someone gets the idea of like, well, you know, we need more space here to put more weapons. We want you know, we need breathing room. And so they actually start to mount up and the birds start taking over other islands.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Brilliant. I do remember that now. Yes.
Yeah, the birds, they ain't no limp dicks, I'll tell you that much.
Speaking of.
Here we go. I am the king of transitions. Track 9, this is Limp Dick.
Side of a barroom argument, pretty much. I mean, this is the other side. Now, obviously, somebody somewhere is the subject of this song. Now, I assume that they know that. Like, this guy is sitting down and he's like, "You ever heard that Jackal song, Limp Dick? Well, that's about me." clearly, some guy's woman went to this guy, and I could just see the whole fucking drama situation that happened around this song, where his woman left and went and, you know, probably slept with the lead singer of the band, and then he probably showed up with a gun and like, "You want to sleep with my woman?" He's like, "Well, fuck off." And then, of course, they have their whole thing, and the cops are called, and everybody's dispersed. There, nobody gets arrested or anything. We just have a little bit of a tiff. And then the lead singer, Jesse James Dupree, proceeds to write a song about Mr. Limp Dick here, which is the subject of this particular piece. It's you're right. What can you say about it? This guy is putting somebody, as the kids say, he is putting somebody on blast, sir.
This is about as subtle as a brick to the face.
It's the truth, man. It's the truth.
I love it. It's definitely up there. It's one of my favorite songs on here because it's just so brazenly funny. Shrimp dick.
We also, he gets points.
Hey, you have a little penis. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You have no dick. I'm a man. I have a huge dick. You're a little pussy man. You have a limp dick.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. He wrote a song about it. It's amazing. And you know they get points. They definitely get points in this song for, number one, referencing Space Mountain as Ric Flair would. And he doesn't do it once, which we got to hear in that little clip. He does it again at the end of the song, and he proceeds to go, "Woo!" So, I mean, a motherfucker's definitely quoting Ric Flair. So he gets points for that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just picturing them like recording music for this album. He's like, "Well, you got any other ideas? Well, I've got one."
Did I ever tell you about that time?
Remember that time in the bar with that guy? Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They were called Limp Dick. All right.
It's on. Limp got the lyrics right here.
All right, let's get to the end here. This is our last track of the night, and we'll do a final thoughts and plugs. Though I think it's pretty obvious what my final thoughts are going to be. we'll final thoughts and plugs, and then we'll get out of here. This is Blast Off.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is, in fact, rock and roll. It's a great song to end the album with. I think it really sums it all up. It brings it all back to where we started. I think it's a great... I think thematically, it's what this whole album's about. This is rock and roll. Have a party. Not everything has to be so goddamn serious. You know,
right.
just get out there, get in someone's face and have a ball. And pull out your cock and put it in their eye.
Let's not go that far. I've never been to one of those parties. People's dicks are driving out at some point. I ain't seen
it. My dick is the mashed potatoes.
I echo your sentiments. This is the way to send it out. This is a great song. It's fun. It's upbeat, it's rock and roll,
just like it's supposed to be.
One of the things I noticed, coming into this particular album, I'll go ahead and kind of transition into my final thoughts here. But, I wasn't expecting a whole lot from these guys. And it really did not, it really didn't blow my, I use that phrase a lot. Let's try this one. It didn't exceed my expectations of these guys, but it certainly wasn't below what I thought was going to happen for a Jackal album. How's that? I mean, these guys were they're rock and roll selves. I had noticed that the guys' vocals, I think I sent a statement to you guys saying that it just didn't feel like they have changed since I last heard him actually singing. And to hear this guy actually talk, in interviews and stuff, I thought his vocals would match, the way that he speaks. And that is not the case. So he's definitely got a neat inflection on the way that he sings. And one of the guys that he puts me in mind of is Brian Johnson, the lead singer of AC/DC.
Absolutely. Yes.
That is the guy that I was like, oh, that's this last song made me think of him for sure. But and I'm turning out watching an interview from a couple years back there today while I was walking on a treadmill. I was just sitting there watching an old interview, and it turns out that he actually has done some collaborations with Brian Johnson, and didn't surprise me one bit, but apparently that's kind of a rarity for the lead singer of AC/DC to do. He's not known for doing that. So, but anyway, some pretty cool stuff. Jackal with a Y. We got rock out with your cock out, which, by the way, until you said it right now on this podcast and pre-podcast, right before we got on here, I did not know what that is what that meant. For the life of me, dude, I sat here and I probably looked over at least 7 or 8 different articles as I was doing just the kind of research on the reviews and stuff of this particular album. I was actively searching for what R-O-W-Y-C-O meant. I was like, what the fuck does this mean? And I was like, well, how am I going to pronounce it tonight? And then, of course, you proceeded to educate me, as the Metal Hammer of Doom always does. So,
oh, wow.
I learned something new every time. I'm giving this album a thumbs up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny you mentioned that because, like, I was reading somewhere where it was like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what does Royoko mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I saw somewhere it was just like, think about it. And so I'm looking at it and I'm just like, okay, it's got to stand for something. So R is probably rock. Rock out. Oh, rock out with your cock out. I say that all the time.
Yes, you do.
I'm a big proponent of rocking out with one's cock out.
Sometimes in your eye and in the mashed potatoes. I saw something similar today when one of the things they said, make of that what you will. And I'm like, well, what the fuck does it mean? Tell me what it means.
Well, I think Bradley's came through. Fucking rooster on the cover.
I'm trying to associate things. It doesn't even occur to me sometimes. But hey, I like the fact that I now know what it means, and I can tell everybody, check it out. Rock out with your cock out, Jackal style.
Well, rock out with your cock out gets an A from me. I mean, this album was fun. There wasn't a bad song on here. Most of the songs are pretty memorable. I had fun talking about them. I was never bored. There is, not one time that I go, nope, and go to the next one. Some of the songs on here are so good, I will probably transition them over to the shared playlist.
Bring it on.
I don't want to forget them. Oh, that don't... that just because I'm drunk song is definitely going to be on there. You don't have to worry about that.
It's happening.
This gets a solid A from me. Great job from Jackal. Absolutely outstanding. All right. Yesterday, Robert Winfrey and I reviewed Pete's Dragon. Go ahead and listen to that in the archives. Tomorrow, Jesse Starcher and Jason Teasley will bring you the Cheap Seats. Next week, we've got the 411 Ground and Pound radio show, which will be reviewing Diaz versus McGregor 2 on pay-per-view, which will have been the Saturday prior. And they'll be previewing Damian Maia versus Carlos Conduit. Source material, Jesse Starcher is talking He-Man comics. On Tuesday, we'll be doing our summer wrap-up show. The summer is finally over. Thank fucking God. I get a break. I'm going to the movies this weekend, but it's date night with the wife. We're going to see War Dogs, and I don't have to worry about reviewing it.
It's been a rough movie season for you, man. It's been a rough movie season for you. I wonder if this 2016 movie summer blockbuster season is going to go down in infamy, where like 10 years from now you'll reference this as like the worst. Now, I'm not talking about horrible films. I'm talking about personal struggles that you've had
with
some movies.
This season almost broke me.
I hear you, man.
Between personal stuff said on Facebook by certain people and just the general level of acrimony among people discussing movies, and the fact that a stupid shit movie like Ghostbusters had a national conversation about how men hate women, basically. I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, I need to not be on the internet for a while.
Is this something that you're going to approach on your wrap-up show?
Probably. We've discussed it a lot when we talked about Ghostbusters. I would like to talk about some other things, but it's going to have to
stay positive.
So next Wednesday, we'll be reviewing the new Sabaton album. We'll get right back to the usual piece of business here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. I'm sure Cooper will be very happy about that. We've got Cheap Seats again. Just looking into the future, what else have we got going on the Metal Hammer of Doom? Well, we've got on August 31st, we've got Running Wild, Rapid Foray. A little bit of the old pirate metal there. Presumably, if it's still coming out on September 2nd, which they may have changed the date on me, I'm not entirely sure. But assuming that it's still the same, then we'll be reviewing the new Devin Townsend project, Transcendence, on September 7th. September 14th, KMFDM Rocks, Milestones Reloaded. September 21st, Brujeria, Pocho, Aslan. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Maybe I'm not. Who knows? On September 28th, I have it as the 27th right now. I think I have to switch that over to the 28th. The new Every Time I Die, Low Teens. The following week, there's no... I won't be reviewing anything. As far as I'm concerned, there's no Metal Hammer of Doom. Maybe Jesse and Coop will put something together, but I'll be at Klutz that Tuesday. So there'll be a Cheap Seats on October 4th, and then a movie review, and then the Netflix review, Marvel's Luke Cage. So no Metal Hammer of Doom that week. We'll be back the following week with Epica, The Holographic Principle. By then, the new Metallica album should be out. If it is, we'll be covering that on October 19th. If there's not a new Metallica album for some odd reason, we can slide Witherscape back in there, but that's kind of fallen off the calendar. The week after that, Korn, The Serenity of Suffering. The week after that, Testament, Brotherhood of the Snake. The week after that, Opeth, Sorceress. Then we get into our turkeys for November. Our first turkey.
November.
Oh, yeah. N-O, November. And Anthrax, Stomp 442. That's our first turkey. And our turducken for the month is Metal Hammer of Poison, Look What the Cat Dragged In. So we'll review both of those albums and have fun making fun of them. We'll get right back to business on November 30th. With the new Meshuggah, The Violent Sleep of Reason. Presumably, unless something else better ends up coming out, we will be on December 7th, we will be reviewing the new Hammerfall, Built to Last. So that's exciting. And then the following week, just added today, the new Superjoint comes out. We'll be reviewing it on this December 14th, called Caught Up in the Gears of Application. The good stuff there.
Have you guys done a Super Joint show?
No, because they haven't put out an album in God knows how long.
I've heard of these guys somewhere, so all right, go ahead.
I've talked about them a bunch.
All right.
So Super Joint, Caught Up in the Gears of Application. And then on Wednesday, 12/21, right before Christmas, our last show of the year, the Metal Hammer of Doom Year End Spectacular. Because Jesse Starcher wanted to do one.
Damn straight.
So we'll figure out what that's going to be. You know, no, not reviewing a Christmas album this year, per se. We'll figure out how, you know, we'll play. I guess we'll... What did you want to do for the year-end spectacular? I don't remember. What was your pitch?
My pitch was this. We go through all the albums that we covered throughout the year, and we pick three tracks each. Of our three favorite from the year, and we each put together a nine song show and talk about the fun we had throughout the year talking about the albums, all the ups and all the downs.
Oh, good. Another opportunity for us to hear just because I'm drunk.
Get drunk on that show. I would love to hear it. Celebrate the year, bring it in drunk as fuck.
Absolutely. Break out the eggnog. All right. I've done pretty much all the plugs for this show and all the most recent shows. You want to quick plug anything?
Yeah, I do want to make a quick... I got it on the schedule as He-Man. I don't know if that show is going to come together this week to where we can record. So if it doesn't, it's definitely on the calendar. It's going to happen. But Source Material will be putting a show together, hopefully last minute, this coming Monday. And it might just, if He-Man doesn't work out, it will be a... pretty much a bull crap session. That's pretty much all I got on the calendar, really. Now, as for myself, I did make an appearance on the Returning Screaming Boy podcast here this past weekend. Me and Ronnie, Adam, and my buddy Justin hopped on there and was on episode one of the 2.0 revision. So we talked, I think World of Warcraft was our first show this past Friday here on the Rattalition Broadcasting Network. And we also did a show on Stranger Things, which, Mark, I don't know if you like the weird shows on Netflix, if you had a chance to watch it yet, but that's a pretty good show, and we talked about it on the podcast. We all enjoyed it and kind of spoiled the shit out of it. So we had a fun time discussing that. But don't forget to give the Ryan Lynch and Broadcasting Facebook page a like, folks. We won't bore you to death with post after post after post. We tell you what podcasts are coming up, so you can keep track of all the great podcast goodness we have out there and all the great formats you can find us on, such as iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, the lovely, wonderful Blog Talk Radio. And that's it for me, man. I don't have anything else I want to put out there.
All right, man. We're going to end a little early tonight, but that's okay. It gives me an opportunity to hit the bed a little early so that I'm not, like, half-conscious at work again tomorrow. This is a fun show. We definitely needed it, especially after this summer of acrimony. I enjoyed it. I'm glad Jesse Starcher enjoyed it. We'll see you guys next week. Cooper will be back to walk us through the new Sabaton album. Until then, for Jesse Starcher of the Source Material Podcast, I am Mark Rattledge, your mandated reporter. And just because I'm drunk doesn't mean you're right.